Proverbs 29:18. Where there is no vision, the people perish, but he that keepeth the law, happy is he. Habakkuk 2:1-3. I will stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower and will watch to see what he will say unto me and what I shall answer when I am reproved. And the Lord answered me and said, Write the vision and make it plain upon tables, that he may run that readeth it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry.
Isn't that special? You know, one of our young men, Jacob, doing our children's story for us, and then Kaylee doing our scripture reading for us. That is special. Yes, and it's so nice when we have more participation and intergenerational participation. It makes worship fun. We are all a part of the church of God. It doesn't matter what our age is. Amen? Yes, God has set every human being to come and be a part of his church and to be a part of worship service. We should make people around us feel important because everyone is valuable to God and Jesus died for everyone. Amen? He did. Well, it's not quite here yet, but let me wish everyone a very happy Thanksgiving and hope that you will, you know, Thanksgiving Day will find you rejoicing in God and having the best of health. So happy Thanksgiving to everyone. Yeah, next week. Well, we're going to take off for a little vacation. So we'll be gone for Thanksgiving. And we'll go, we'll get way more sunshine. Yes, before it gets more cloudy, we need to go stock up on some vitamin D. Yes. Get ready for what's coming. Get ready for what's coming. It's so good to see each of you in church today. It's wonderful when we have health, we have life, and we learned what happened to Brooke with her car going over into the ditch and was half submerged. Easily, she could have died just from the flip, and secondarily, she could have died by drowning. But thank God her guardian angels were watching over her. I saw pictures of that wreck. And I tell you, God is merciful. He loves us with an everlasting love. And what you see happen there to Brooke, that's what Satan wants to do to each of us. He wants to destroy us. But God won't just allow him to have his way. Amen? God will do everything to protect us and to deliver us. So we thank God. We thank God. So Vision 2020. When you hear that, you may think about 2020 vision, right? And so we just put a little bit of a spin on it and say Vision 2020. God wants us to have 2020 spiritual vision, doesn't he? He wants us to be able to see things as they are. God deserves for us to see him as he is. And truly, we ought to see ourselves as we are. And the closer I draw to Christ, I can tell you, the less I trust myself. At my core, I am a carnal, sinful human being. At my core. And I suspect that you're the same too, because you're a human being. But Jesus' grace stepped in. Jesus, by his mercy and power and love for us, he stepped in. And he's doing everything to save us. And he's working that change from the inside out. Jesus is at work to change us from our core. That means at our core, we are no disciples of Jesus Christ. Amen? 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 4, what does it say? Whereby are given unto us exceeding great promises, whereby we become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature,
having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. So God is at work drawing each person who pays attention to him to come into a relationship with him where his very divine nature he shares with us, that we can be overcomers of sin in this present world here and now. God is doing that for us. A term theologian used for it is righteousness by faith. God is at work to save us from the inside out. See, the Pharisees of Christ's days, they tried to change people from the outside in. But that's not God's method. God wants our thought processes, our mind and heart to be changed and transformed. And then when that happens, everything else falls into place. The way we speak, the way we act, the way we dress, the way we eat, the way we interact with people out there, it will only be glorifying to God when we are changed from the inside out. And one of the great hallmarks of biblical Christianity is humility. If we are in Christ, it is impossible to be arrogant. We're going to be humble, we're going to be teachable, and we're going to, you know, it's kind of like what Joan read for the offertory call. It talks about how we ought to be what? What was the watchword in Joan's reading? What did she talk about? I guess we need to bring Joan out here. In her reading, she talked about something. She talked about how, you know, pretty much Christ has gone to prepare a place for us. But there's a word, it begins with S. It's in Ephesians 5. I guess that's one of the times wives should what to their husbands? Submit. But did you realize the chapter also says that submit therefore to one another? It starts out with talking about submitting to one another. And that was a word that came out of Joan's reading this morning. It talks about submissiveness. It talks about how in heaven, all the beings there, I think it mentioned angels in particular, how they are in submission to God. And from eternity past, God was there and long for eons, the reading she quoted, for long periods of time, all the universe was in one pulse of harmony. And it is because they were in submission to the will of God. But then we know trouble came and sin happened. And it transferred into our world where Adam and Eve lived in the Garden of Eden for some time. I know it's at least before they were 130 years old. Because that's the age they were when they had Seth. But it was sometime in that timeline. It could have been when they were 100 years old. We don't know. They could have lived 100 years before they sinned. It's very possible, very likely. But sometimes before they turn 130, they sinned against God. And they had to be removed from the Garden of Eden. And that is because they stepped out of submitting to the will of God. When we are in submission to the will of God, great things, great spiritual things happen in our lives. Today we're talking about Vision 2020, where each one reach one for Christ. And, you know, Kayla read for us here in Habakkuk chapter 2, where the word of God says, I will stand my watch. This is a prophet Habakkuk. In chapter 1, he was having a discussion with God about all the wickedness in the world and how wicked people seem to just continue and God seemed to ignore it. That's what Habakkuk was having that discussion with God. And so he was kind of waiting for God to respond. And so he said, I will stand my watch. And as Christians, we ought to be watchful. Amen? We ought to be very watchful. As a matter of fact, one of the hymns we sing says, be watchful and wait. Be watchful. Because that same old nature that Jesus gave us the victory from and delivered us, Satan is waiting to bring us right back to square one. And worse, we ought to be watchful. Amen? So here the prophet says, I will stand my watch. And you know, throughout the night, there were four watches, right? From 6 to 9, from 9 to 12, from 12 to 3, and from 4 back to 6. Night watches, and you can split up the day. Same thing, day watches. We ought to be watchful. He says, I will stand my watch. By the way, at each watch, they would change guards. For example, you know by now that the temple was guarded 24/7. And the priests were a great part of the body of guards that guarded the temple. And so here the prophet says, I will stand my watch. So these were lookout. These were scouts. These were soldiers. These were guards. And so the prophet used the same language. I will stand my watch. I will be in observation. I will be on the lookout. I will stand my watch and set myself on the rampart and watch to see. What was he watching for? To see what God would say to him. He says, and see what he, that's God, will say to me, and what I will answer when I am corrected. Some versions say when I am instructed. Others say when I am rebuked. And so here was a prophet willing to cooperate with God. If my views are wrong, God, please, I am willing for you to change my views and align my views with yours. This is the spirit that we should have, the spirit of humility, the spirit to be teachable. And so the prophet says, I will watch to see what God will say to me and what I will answer him when I am corrected. Sometimes we can get a little hard-nosed about what we believe and we won't budge. We want to make sure that we constantly check what we believe and ensure that it aligns with the word of God. Amen? We want to make sure we are taking the word of God for it, because many deceivers are pastors and priests and popes and whoever, archbishops, but we want to make sure that we follow the plain word of God. Amen? Amen. So the prophet was willing to be corrected when God spoke. He says, and what I will answer when I am corrected. Verse 2 says, then the Lord answered me and said. Now, was Habakkuk's expectation met? He was watching for the Lord to speak with him. And the Lord came through. The Lord came through. Sometime the Lord may not come through an hour clock. But God always comes through in time, doesn't he? And so he says here, then the Lord answered me and said, the Lord was now giving the prophet a duty to perform. Then the Lord answered me and said, write the vision. Write the vision and make it plain on tables that he may run who reads it. So this was something for Habakkuk to do from way back in his time. It became significant for us as Seventh-day Adventists, because in the great Advent awakening beginning in about 1831, coming through the mid-1840s, this passage of scripture became very important to them. Amen? And so there is what became known as the 1843 chart that, you know, wrote out what Daniel's vision of Daniel chapter 8 verse 14 and Daniel chapter 9 verse 24 on down to the end, where it explained the prophetic timeline of things that surrounded the coming Messiah, his mission, his death, his resurrection, and the time allotted to the Jews to proclaim the gospel to the world. Right, the vision. And they were using this very text. And these men literally made charts so that people could see the imagery of these beasts and all these things that were happening in the book of Daniel chapter 2 and 7 and 8. And they made it plain and calculated when this 2300 days prophecy of Daniel 8:14 was fulfilled. Literally, they did this in Adventist history past. So here God was saying to the prophet way back then, write the vision and make it plain on tables that he may run who reads it. And we have Vision 2020 for our church here. We want it to be plain to everyone. And so we've been putting it in the bulletin. We've been announcing it from the pulpit. We want every person here to be a part of Vision 2020, where each one reach one for Christ. God wants his vision to be clear. And so in verse 3, God is still speaking to Habakkuk. For the vision is yet for an appointed time. But at the end, it will speak and it will not lie. God's word cannot lie. As a matter of fact, let me say it even more clearly. God cannot lie. God's word cannot be broken. Amen? Jim, you're seated on the back row, right? If God look at you right now, Jim, and say you're a black man, do you know that instantly you're a black man, Jim? If God looks at me right now and say I'm a white man, instantly I turn to a white man. I'm trying to get you to see how powerful God's word is. When God speaks something, that thing happens instantly. And when you go to the creation story, when God wanted a new world, what did he do? He simply said, let it be. And when it was a little dark and God wanted some light, he didn't flip an electric switch somewhere or press a remote control or something like that. God simply said, let there be light. And what happened? There was light. And when God became man and walked the face of this earth in the person of Jesus Christ, when his friend Lazarus died, he walked over to his grave and what did he say? Lazarus, come forth. He didn't do some tricks and some shenanigans. He simply spoke the word and immediately his friend Lazarus heard and obeyed. He came forth. And in John chapter 15 and verse 3, Jesus says, you are already clean because of the word that I have spoken unto you. God's word cleanses us. God's word is powerful. Amen? And so it says, for the vision is for an appointed time, but at the end it will speak and it will not lie. God cannot lie. God's word is unbroken. Though it tarries, wait for it. Because it will surely come, it will not tarry. What is the next big thing we Christians, we Seventh-day Adventists, we Bible believers, what is it that we're waiting for? What's the next big thing? Jesus coming. All were in agreement that's the next big thing we're waiting for. Let me see your hands. All right, so we have some good witnesses. Anybody here waiting for anything else? Don't be shy now. Or is it that you're not waiting for anything else? That's true. I am not waiting for no Sunday law or for no beast to come together. Those will happen. But what I'm waiting for is the coming of Jesus Christ. Amen? Those things we know they're going to happen and the final movements will be rapid ones. They'll pass by us. But the next big thing is the coming of Jesus. And though it appears, there appears to be a delay, God himself says, though it tarries, this big vision, wait for it, because it will surely come, it will not tarry. And then I like what the very next verse says, verse 4. That wasn't read in the scripture reading, but it says here, behold the proud. And we see many proud people, and sometimes they can be in church too. It says, behold the proud. And what about the proud? Look at the next line. The proud. His soul, the proud's soul, is not upright in him. In other words, you cannot be upright and proud at the same time. It's impossible. If you're a man of God, a woman of God, a child of God, you cannot be proud. Pride will be put away, but instead you will be upright. And then the next verse says how? But the just shall live by faith. Amen? The just shall live by faith. My question to you today, are you just? Have you been justified? Have you allowed God to make you righteous? By the way, you know it's the same exact word, both in Hebrew and in Greek, for just and for righteous. Same exact term. So you can switch words. Just, the righteous shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith. Same thing. Same thing. So have you allowed God to make you righteous? Vision 2020 is calling for the just, the righteous, to live by faith. It is a bold God-sized initiative. It's a vision from God. And Solomon says in Proverbs 28 verse 19, where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. And I wish to see more Seventh-day Adventists whose only diet is not lemon. Amen? Because sometimes we are so stoic, we make it look like we're having the worst time in this world. No, if there's any people on earth who needs to be happy, it is the people of God who understand the truth for this time. Amen? Yeah. You know, it's funny, when I began to hear about, when I joined the Seventh-day Adventist Church in 1996, I used to hear some people talking about Sister White. And I'm saying, man, this Sister White seems to know her Bible, because I'm reading the Bible on my own and I'm drawing some of the similar conclusion. And so I said, man, I want to meet this Sister White, because she seemed to be a woman in her Bible. I want to meet with her, and that's when I was schooled who Sister White was, you know. I was attending church, but I wasn't baptized yet. And so I was hearing them talk, Sister White, and I said, man, this woman is making sense. I'm reading the Bible, and I'm coming to some similar conclusions, you know. So I want to meet with her. And so when you heard some other people talk about Sister White, she seemed to be this mean woman that is like a Mike Tyson and just wanting to hit you with something over the head. But when you get to meet the Ellen White that God called to be a prophetess, she was quite a witty, jovial person. Yes. You know, one time she visited the academy in Battle Creek. And this was a time in the controversy, you know, between Wagner and Jones, which was a new camp, and then the old camp with the old guards, the U.S. Mint and those guys. And they were locked in over who the horns were. And so Ellen White went to do a devotional, and so they asked her, you know, which is it? Is it the Huns or the Alemanni, you know? And she chuckled. She laughed. She says, when I saw that beast in vision, there were so many horns, I don't know which is which. And everybody had a chuckle. The idea was, these are not things we should be killing each other over, whether it is Huns or Alemanni, you know? We have more important matters to take care of rather than fighting with each other. Yeah, she was quite a jovial person, you know? And then she talked about some people that say they follow health reform, but what they do is health deform. I see her as a jovial person, you know? And so it doesn't mean that, you know, she wasn't serious in character, but she was jovial in spirit. She was jovial in spirit, you know? And so here it says, but happy is he who keeps the law. Happy is he who keeps the law. So I believe we should have some happy people here in church. What do you say? Amen? Yes. So never give the impression that the only thing you eat is lemon. Don't give that impression. Keep a smile on the face, you know? Keep a smile. As a matter of fact, a part of the AY law says keep a song in your heart. When I'm singing, I'm not hard nose and hard faced. I'm cheery when I'm singing. Those songs keep me going. Amen? Yes. Where there is no vision, the people perish, but he that keepeth the law, happy is he. Now, I want to ask you, have you ever had any kind of vision or any kind of personal encounter with God that you can clearly say for yourself that you know that God is real? Don't follow the crowd, no. I want to raise your hand if God is real to you personally. I'm not talking what your church teach or what you read in the Bible. Is God real to you? Amen. And I see some very good witnesses. Very good witnesses. How real is God to you? How real is he to you? I am imploring you to get to the place where God is real, very real to you in your walk with him. If not, if God is not real to you, faith, religion, church becomes ceremonial. Something I do on the clock and I get my time in, and so it's time to go. I get my time in. It becomes ceremonial if God is not real. And so what you find is that instead, some people, instead of standing on the promises of God, they end up sitting on the premises of God. Do we want that? I don't think so. We want to be standing on the promises of God rather than merely sitting on the premises of God. Amen? Amen. So, consider your relationship with God as the number one priority in your life. It is the most important and urgent of needs that you have to get this priority right. My greatest desire is for each of you to see each of you have continuous encounters with God by God's enabling grace. It is imperative. An encounter with God qualifies you to be really called a child of the great King. To be a daughter of God, to be a son of God, you must be a born-again biblical Christian. Amen? This comes through personal encounters with God. And some of your encounters may be as dramatic as Saul's road to Damascus experience, or others may be as quiet as Nicodemus's secret interview with Jesus by night. Either way, your encounter with God is essential to your assurance of salvation. You got to know God for yourself. Amen? You know, the Holy Spirit has been the divine agent carrying out Operation Salvation ever since the time salvation and deliverance were needed. And you cannot be sealed without the Holy Spirit. Amen. We are told that in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 30, where Paul says, "And grieve not the Holy Spirit, whereunto you are sealed against the day of redemption." The Holy Spirit does the sealing work. So get to know Him. He does the final sealing work for heaven. So seek Him daily. Amen. Now, do you think God would like to see each of you becoming active agents of salvation to your lost relatives and neighbors? You know, sometimes I think one of the trouble is we use nice terms for people and everything, but there are only two kind of people in this world: those who are saved and those who are lost. And those who are saved have a responsibility to seek and to save the lost. Amen? Amen. You know, we should include the very street on which our church is located. We should reach out to Maple Avenue. Amen? We need to be very systematic and be very deliberate. And look, don't get to thinking that the pastor is going to do it, or Jim thinks Sharon is going to do it, or, you know, Don thinks Valera is going to do it, or Earl thinks Lou is going to do it. You know, that's how sometimes we end up doing nothing, because I think my wife is going to do it. So I just kind of wait until she does it, and it never gets done. Amen? We each have our part to play. Amen? And we must each play our part. Amen? And so we need to reach out to our lost relatives and neighbors. You know, like Jesus did for each of us here, Jesus also died to save all of our lost relatives and neighbors. Did you know that? Did you know that you have a responsibility to tell them that Jesus died to save them? Yes, it is a responsibility. Yes, yes. Christ's original mandate is the inspiration behind Vision 2020. Each one, reach one for Christ. Similarly, Paul urged holiness and mission upon the Ephesian believers. In Ephesians chapter 4, beginning in verse 25. Ephesians chapter 4, let us see what Paul says there. Ephesians chapter 4, beginning in verse 25. Paul says, "Therefore, putting away lying." Lying. Do you still find yourself to lie? Paul says, "Therefore, putting away lying, let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor." Each one, reach one. "For we are members of one another." And then verse 26, one that you kind of know already. "Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. Let him who stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give to him who has need. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit, the verse I quoted earlier. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you are sealed for the day of redemption. Do you think we are living in the sealing time? Yes, we are. That's a word that's been going on for ages. The final sealing work does come. But here Paul said to the Ephesian believers, not to grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed, past tense. It already happened in Paul's time. By whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Verse 31. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. No one can be a biblical Christian and yet having someone else in malice. It's impossible. It is true, not every two people get along the most perfectly. You don't have to be the very best of friends, but you shouldn't be in malice. Amen? Yes. It said with all malice. Verse 32. And be kind to one another. Be kind to one another. Tender hearted. Forgiving one another. Even as God in Christ forgave you. And this is a beautiful pastoral exhortation there. Amen. There is no better way to live than Christian living. I thought at least one person would say amen for that. Yes. It may just tell how much you're enjoying your Christianity. There's no better way to live than Christian living. Christianity calls us to live out our faith. We must share our faith also. If we are ever living out our faith, we will talk excitedly about it and share it every chance we get. Don't you think so? Now, I do not have the gift of prophecy like the Holy Spirit gave to each of the contributing writers of the Bible. But I most certainly have other spiritual gifts. When I took my baptismal vows, those same vows that you took, I was not a pastor. But I pledged to spend time regularly in prayer and Bible studies. I pledged to lovingly witness to Christ's salvation in my life and to his soon coming. Anybody remember taking those vows? Anyone who is enjoying salvation is not only duty bound to share it, but it will also flow out naturally as an overflow of the love in your heart. Amen? Encounters with God do that. When you talk with God in the early morning, before all the noise and destruction of the world step in, you find that you have power to go throughout the day. Amen? These encounters will fill us with grace, and we go to fill up the lives of others with good. Amen? Now, a great way to encounter God and to experience Vision 2020, where each one reach one for Christ, is to diligently study God's Word, the Bible. Amen? So, encounter God in His Word. Peter, one of God's 40 chosen Bible writers, moved by the Holy Spirit, had this to say in 2 Peter 1, verse 16 to 21. He says, "For we did not follow cunningly devised fables when we made known to you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty." Amen. "For he received from God the Father honor and glory when such a voice came to him from the excellent glory." What did the voice say? This is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. Peter said, and we heard this voice which came from heaven when we were with him on the holy mountain. Who can tell where to find that story? When were they on a holy mountain with God and heard the voice? Was it at Mount Sinai? No, that was from Moses' time. When did they hear that? Check the first three verses of Matthew chapter 17 and you'll find it there. The Mount of Transfiguration. Verse 19 says, and so we have the prophetic word confirmed, which you do well to heed as a light that shines in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of scripture is of any private interpretation. Literally, the word says, is of any private origins. None of the scripture is of private origins. For prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. Amen. Their firm faith and unquenchable missionary zeal was born out of an encounter with God. Yes? Nothing could remove them from their witness. Now, do you think it's time for you to engage in Vision 2020, where each one reach one for Christ? Do you think it's time for you? I think so. Now is the time. Now is the only time that we have. Amen? Remember what Proverbs 28:29-18 tell us? Solomon says, where there is no prophetic vision, the people cast off restraint, but blessed is he who keeps the law. That's from the English Standard Version. So what are some ways that you can encounter God and engage in Vision 2020 in your own life? Number one, believe God implicitly. Diligently and daily seek fresh encounters with him. Number two, study God's word regularly. Let him speak to you from those sacred pages of the Bible. Listen to him. Amen. Number three, spend quality and a good quantity of time with God in prayer, and do it consistently. Number four, share your faith. Go tell others. Be praying as you go. So believe, study, pray, tell. Amen? The Protestant reformer, Martin Luther, said, to pray well is the better half of study. Amen? And you can apply that to the academic life as well, for the children and youth who are in school. To pray well is the better half of study. And he was as deep a scholar as one could get in his time. Amen? Now, it is a truism that what you don't use, you lose. Yes? In biblical Christianity, the way to keep your faith is to share it. As mental exercise strengthens your intellect, and as physical exercise strengthens your muscles, so does outreach. Sharing your faith and evangelism strengthen your walk with God. Amen? So use your spiritual gifts to help others experience salvation. And in our final passage, Paul was writing to Corinthian Christians. And this is what he had to say in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and beginning in verse 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Let's see what Paul says there. By the way, did you know this is one of the chapters Ellen White writes that we should commit to memory? 1 Corinthians 12, 1 Corinthians 13, Isaiah 53. Those are passages we're encouraged to commit to memory. And here in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul writes, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles, carried away to these dumb idols. however you were led. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed. And no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it's the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. Each person here has a cluster of spiritual gifts. And if you jump down towards the end of the chapter, like from like verse, 27, 28, you will see where the list continues. Paul says, "No, you are the body of Christ and members individually. And God has appointed these in the church. First, the apostles." And what we are reading from here right now is a letter from one of the apostles. The Apostle Paul writing to the Corinthian church. First, the apostles. And by the way, the entire New Testament scriptures is written through whom? The apostles. God used them to write the entire New Testament portion of the scripture. The apostles. So it says there that first, the apostles. Second, prophets. Were there prophets in the time of the apostles? Yes. There were Philip's daughters mentioned in the book of Acts. There was a prophet. We have a little record of some of the things he said to Paul, the prophet Agabus, that Paul didn't seem to obey the instruction and he lost his life. He suffered martyrdom. Agabus told him not to go up to Jerusalem, but he went anyway. And he was never freed again. Agabus, prophets way back then. So he said, first the apostles, second prophets, third teachers. And we know that Stephen was a mighty preacher teacher in the word of God. The first Christian martyr was a deacon. Right, Don? Deacons are powerful. Yes, in the Bible, deacons, the first person to die for Christ was a deacon. Wasn't a pastor, wasn't an elder, was a deacon. Deacons are powerful preachers. So it says here, teachers, third teachers, after that, miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, administrations, various tongues. But then he asks a series of rhetorical questions. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Do all have gifts of healings? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But earnestly desire the best gifts. And yet I show you a more excellent way. And the best gift was going to be love in chapter 13. The gift of love. And that's the one all ought to have. The gift of love. So as we conclude today, I want to remind you that repetition deepens the impression. Amen? So keep repeating your praises to God. Repeat Bible studies often, like coming out on Tuesday nights and then doing your own personal Bible studies. Repeat the joy of sharing your faith with others. Also, rise up and do something for Christ. Amen? Remember, stand on the promises and not just sit on the premises. Amen? Rise up and do something for Christ. Catch Vision 2020 and get on with Christ's mission. Give up lip service which is only talking. Now is the time to walk the walk. Amen. Go on God's errands. Operate on God's terms and conditions. Start now by living what you know. Continue by sharing Christ on the go. Even if you have to start ever so slow, God will bring the increase, and that you know. Bloom where you are planted. Yes, bloom and grow. Plant a seed as you go. Plant a seed, watch it grow. You will reap what you sow. So let us arise and go. Amen. 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 We want to sing our closing hymn today in commitment to Christ, reminding ourselves that we are just pilgrims and strangers passing through America land. America is not our final home. Amen. Heaven is. So let us be reminded of that. Father and our God, we are reminded even through the song that we are pilgrims and strangers traveling through this land. Help us then, Lord, never to lose sight of this. But help us to keep trusting in you, leaning on your everlasting arms. Help us, Lord, to serve you. And we pray, Lord, that you yourself will be our vision. And when we talk about Vision 2020, help us to see ourselves in partnership with you, in partnership with holy angels, and especially going forward in the power of the Holy Spirit himself. Lord, transform our lives today. Without you, Jesus, we could not even exist. But with you, all things are possible. So help us to go out and to do new exploits for you, each one reaching one for Christ. Help us, Lord, to take this commission from heaven seriously. You yourself said that we should go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Spirit and of Jesus Christ himself, and teaching them everything that Christ has taught us. So help us, Lord, not to hold back, but to share your love, to share your salvation, to share your truth with all the people that come within our range of hearing and influence. Help us to uplift you continually. And help us, Father, to catch the vision and to go on the mission for you. Continue to save us by your grace. Continue to keep us by your power. And help us, Lord, to praise you continually. Thank you, Jesus, for the privilege to be a part of the family of God, the heavenly family, and your family on earth, the church. Help us then, Lord, to walk by faith and not by sight. And help us to be counted among the just, among the righteous. Bless us, Father. Take away our sins now. Strip us of every one of them. And Lord, in their places, fill us with your Holy Spirit. Fill us with your righteousness, and may we go from this place empowered. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.